Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into all kinds of different football stuff, college football, who's actually going to play. And I don't mean players, I mean teams. Who's going to actually play their bowl games, as there's been now, what, four canceled due to COVID. What games are you most excited about pre-New Year's Eve? So starting now through the games on Thursday, which ones are you excited about, or can you even get excited because you don't know whether or not they're going to happen? So we'll find out what Jared thinks about that. There's a couple today, or one today. And we'll take a look at our Western Oklahoma Realty Bowl Mania leaderboard. Hadn't changed much. It should have, but it hasn't changed much since we were in here on Friday because there was a whole bunch of games that didn't happen. So we will look at what's coming up on the college football bowl season. NFL from yesterday, it's going to take me a lot not to overreact to what happened last night. One of the best performances I can remember from the Dallas Cowboys. And, gosh, since Troy, Michael, and Emmett. I mean, it was just domination. And listen, I totally understand why you can kind of poo-poo it away because it was Washington. I understand all those things. It was Washington. They played on Tuesday. They only had 5 days off. I totally get it, and that's part of the reason why it's going to be a little easier not to overreact. But you also don't see teams in the NFL do that to other teams no matter who they've got. That doesn't happen the way it did last night. So we'll talk about the Cowboys and everything else that happened yesterday in the NFL. You know, it's funny to watch the playoff picture graphic always comes up as you're watching those games down toward the end of the season. The NFC, it's pretty cut and dried as far as who's really in the running to make the playoffs. Now, the order, it's up in the air. But as far as who's going to make the playoffs, you got five teams that are absolutely locked down, lead cinch pipe locks. And then it's kind of a three team for two, depending on something crazy happens, especially if New Orleans can win tonight. If New Orleans can win tonight, it's really kind of three teams for two spots. The AFC, no, not even close. It's totally different in the AFC with 13 teams at seven or eight or better. And when you look number seven down to number 13, is one game in between with eight and sevens and then seven and sevens and seven and eight. I mean, it's just it's craziness what's going on there in the AFC. And it's, you know, if you can figure it out, tell us, because that thing is going to come down to the very last week of the season. And then I want to know how many teams, Jared, how many teams do you really think can make the Super Bowl? Not, okay, I can make a little case for them. How many teams in the NFL do you truly think have a shot at the Super Bowl? Then we'll see how Christmas was as well, since we're coming off the Christmas weekend. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Call us, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. If you've got something else on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. You're going to be outside the listening area. You can check us out on KADSAM.com. You can also download the Paragon Communications app. The app has everything. Three radio stations. It's got the Penny News, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. It's got it all there in the Paragon app. And then also, of course, if you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen to it via the KADSAM website or find us on iTunes. And if you do that, subscribe, and you're alerted when a new podcast drops. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
I am just wonderful. How was Christmas?
It was good. It was real well. I mean, it was very filling with the food. Had a lot to eat. Which is always good, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Listen, once you get to be, I don't know, teens or even out of high, maybe college age, the focus to for me shifts from presents to food.
Yeah.
And family time.
Yeah, right.
You know, it just does. And
which usually goes hand in hand, you know.
That's
a bunch
right.
of family together, everybody's bringing some kind of a dish, and holy moly.
So what did you have?
Oh, where do I start? Christmas morning, we had cinnamon rolls, we had these breakfast sandwiches, but they're all made in a pan and put in the oven.
Oh, yeah?
And cooked, you know what I mean? You kind of had to use a spatula to get them out. So there's those. I went too early. Go to Christmas Eve at my dad's. We had steak.
Oh, yeah.
That were basically they were prepared where they were seared in a pan for like 2 minutes in butter and then thrown on the smoker and cooked that way. So we had that with all the fixings. And then, like I said, then Christmas morning had good, I mean, turned into brunch by the time we were done opening presents and by the time we actually got to the food. And kind of skipped lunch because we were so full. Then Christmas evening at my brother-in-law's and sister-in-law's. I mean, you name it, we had it. It's just that's how it works over there. You get all kinds of great food from starters to like a giant cheese board as big as this table. And beef Wellington.
Ah.
That's what we had. And that was fantastic. That was the main dish. And then, of course, all the other trimmings and fixings and everything on the side. It was, as expected, on a holiday like Thanksgiving and Christmas, you always eat well wherever we go. So it was good. And it was a lot of fun to watch the kids open the presents and, you know, freak out when they saw what Santa brought them. And that's what the real fun is, to watch them open the present, not so much you opening a present, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a sign of maturity, I guess. But I could care less what I got. And I loved what I got. Don't misconstrue that. But it was just fun watching the girls open their presents and the other kids, their nieces and nephews. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. How about you? You all right?
Wonder where that eye came from.
I do not know.
Probably got fell off of this.
New monitor there. Decorated with eyeballs. That's weird.
Yeah, come over on this side. I couldn't agree more about like yesterday, because it was really weird because Christmas didn't even feel like it started until yesterday, because you know it's the every other year where Wyatt's gone until after. So Christmas Eve, you know, after we left here, went out to the golf course in shorts and a collared shirt. Didn't even really need my pullover at all.
Yeah.
And play golf, then went to our friend Ann's, who has been putting on a Christmas Eve dinner / birthday dinner for my aunt. This is the 18th year they decided.
To do this?
To do this.
Wow.
And here's the deal. It is always the same thing on the menu, and it is always the most delicious time I eat this dish all year long. And it's spaghetti.
Spaghetti, okay.
It's spaghetti, but here's the difference. She makes the sauce from scratch. She makes the meatballs from scratch. And you always remember that she puts pepperoni in her sauce.
Oh.
But then you know what else there is?
What is there?
Not only is there the big meatballs, there's also smaller meatballs in the sauce. And I always forget there's a smaller, like, I don't know, nickel size meatballs. And then, you know, the ones you're thinking about.
Yeah.
I always forget there's those littler ones until I like take the first couple bites and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. She puts those little bitty meatballs in here too. It's just delicious every single time.
That does sound good.
And so then we stayed at Mom's, had a big old breakfast, kind of like what you're talking about. And there was ham steak, there was eggs, there was hash browns, there was a cinnamon roll casserole of some sort. There was biscuits and gravy. It's just a huge breakfast, and it doesn't start till about 11 every time. And then, heck, it was Christmas, and we didn't have anything else to do, and it was just totally gorgeous. I played golf again on Saturday, and then we went home, and then yesterday got up and got just prepared for Wyatt Man to show up. And he did about 2, and we did all that stuff at our house, and then we ran over here to – to my mother-in-law's house, and we had a Christmas there and the food there. I think I'm still full. And we started eating about 4 o'clock. Well, for being serious, I started eating about 3 because she had kind of a cheese board with a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
Then there was brisket, potatoes, and macaroni and cheese, rolls. And then the sweet table was full, and I tried one of each of it. And it to the point where when I couldn't hardly even move.
Yeah.
I was so full. It was fantastic. Fantastic work was done by all. And you know what the coolest thing was?
What's that?
I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, because it was nothing at your house. It was.
Well, normally we all pitch in like what you're talking about.
Right.
But I think here's the deal. They had a bunch of stuff they were trying to get rid of, freezer-wise, to make space. Like different sausage. There was like a sausage and pepper thing that was good. Just cut up sausages, peppers, and onions and all that. But then one of our other family members, Will, you know Will.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they had their big Christmas with his whole family the day before. And it appeared to me as if every single bit of sweets that was left over from that party just got put in a box and brought right over. So we didn't need to make any sweets. And I mean, there was some good stuff, really good stuff. So I didn't do anything cooking wise, which is rare, but you know, it was really good. So, whew. And I'm telling you right now, I'm just like a little bit in a coma still, like a food coma,
yeah.
A sugar coma.
Yeah.
But no,
there's always leftovers.
It was great. And you're right. It's funny how as you get older, you start watching your kids opening their gifts. Like you tear into yours too, just to get it over with so we can go back. Cause we always go around in a circle. Okay. You go, then you go, then you go.
Okay.
You know, not just all at once.
We just go, boom, go.
And just fire them open.
But God bless my kids. They're like, Dad, open your present. Open your present. Like, nah, I'm waiting. Just go ahead.
That's why we go in order to get, because that's going to happen. It's like, you know what?
Because we'll they want to see our reaction.
That's right.
You know, because they want to, because they know what's wrapped up. So I got to ask, what was the best gift or what was one of the highlighted gifts? They're all best gifts, right? But what? Which
do you
one?
Mean that I got or that I saw opened?
No, that you got.
Well, Jared.
You got shoes on or something? Oh.
I got a new pair of tennis shoes.
Nice.
But then probably the coolest gift was Wyatt picked out a bunch of like grilling stuff.
Oh, okay.
For me. And I mean like, let's see, there was an injector. So if we want to inject, you know, turkeys or chicken or whatever we want to do, there's an injector. There was a rub, a big game rub, which, you know, we eat a whole bunch of venison. With the you know, he always shoots a deer. And so we have that. And I think that may be what that's for, is to, you know, the spices will go good with that. There was, let's see, what else was in there? There was that. Then there was this thing, and I've seen these on TV, but I've never actually seen one in real life. It's like the starter, but it looks like a gun. Hmm. And it just goes with fire.
Whoa.
To light the charcoal.
Nice.
Like a charcoal grill. And it's got a little bottle that you have to twist on for the juice.
Like a propane bottle? Or
a little small one.
Butane or
like
propane?
A little small green one, you know?
Yeah.
And just, whoo, so I can't wait to get out.
Whoa.
Get out there and just, whoo, see how fast it'll light the grill. There was that. So that was really cool. My favorite gift I saw opened was definitely Wyatt, because he had no idea he was going to get a baseball bat. And so he was pretty shocked. Like, oh.
Nice.
Like, almost to, thought I might have saw a little tear there at one point. Just, he was surprised about it. So that was neat.
That's great.
Really, really neat. And then he was really excited to see what his mom got, a pair of tennis shoes that were orange.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Like OSU orange.
Sure.
And so he was pumped to see her open those, and she liked them. So,
good.
Anyhow, what about you?
I got a lot of great stuff. Like gift cards. And some people are reluctant to give gift cards, but I'm fine with it. You know what I mean? because I think it's impersonable. But I'm good with it. So I got a lot of that. A lot of cool stuff. Like I got a new Dallas Cowboys flag that I proudly flew yesterday.
Yeah.
Clearly that's why they won, because I had the new flag flying. The coolest gift that came completely unexpected, you might have seen it on my Facebook page. My wife had found this person that will draw somebody as if they were a cartoon in a show.
Oh, really?
And me and Katie like to watch Bob's Burgers a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this made where it was like an 8x10 picture,
mm-hmm.
where it's me as if I'm a character in Bob's Burgers.
Oh, my.
And I'm holding a burger, and then it looks, and I'm standing in front of what would be Bob's Burgers building, except it says Jared's Burgers. And I'm wearing a OU jersey. When I opened that thing up, it took me by surprise, you know, and I'm just cracking up almost to the point I'm crying, laughing.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I thought, this is the most unexpected gift. It was the coolest thing. I never would have thought of something like that. And then Katie, my oldest, she's a crier. She's like, Varsity Blues, the end of Varsity Blues, or Billy Bob, he's a crier.
Mm-hmm.
That's Katie. And she's just crying. I'm like, why are you crying? She goes, because you love it so much. I was like, I'm just thinking this is the coolest thing. I have a picture I'll show you later. But that was the coolest thing. One of the coolest things I've ever gotten. That's like I said earlier, my wife, she thinks of these things that you just don't think of. But she put, like, okay, he likes to watch his show, Bob's Burgers, and I can get this made. Plus, I can get it where he's wearing an OU jersey. So that,
yeah.
You know, because he likes OU. It was neat. It was sweet. Real sweet. But, yeah, that was one of the, but, you know, I got other useful things, too. So, it was a good Christmas. Good Christmas. I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I'm glad it's over. You thought I was kidding when I was saying I was going to take down the lights on the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did yesterday. The weather was too nice not to be outside. So.
We're just now getting started. We just now had our first Christmas, so we've got them all littered through the next week or month,
boy.
Depending on when my sister gets back from Georgia and we can get together with my mother. Speaking of my mother, speaking of Gigi, today is Gigi's birthday.
Oh, boy.
Along with a bunch of other people, but happy birthday to my mother. Happy birthday to Aunt Dina. It's Aunt Dina's birthday as well.
Man.
And happy birthday to my buddy Rick Marr. All three born on December the 27th. And then we actually had another. How random is this? At our Christmas, one of the other family members, his girlfriend, her birthday is today too, Kinley. So happy birthday to her as well. What a crazy thing.
That is crazy.
Just to randomly show up to a place and have the same birthday in around Christmas, you know, in a day of my sister-in-law. So happy birthday, my sister-in-law. And, of course, my mother. My mother is years old.
That's
but
good
she's
answer.
Flying
good
high. So happy birthday to Gigi.
Happy birthday. You know, a friend of the show, my man Trey, his birthday was on Saturday. He has a Christmas.
He's really a Christmas baby.
Yeah.
Horribly darn.
And we always kid him and say, now the true reason of the season is the birth of Trey.
Oh, no.
he hates that.
That's not right.
He hates that. Is that a good thing to have a birthday?
No, I was just sitting here thinking, you know what?
2 days or the day on Christmas. I mean, here's your birthday Christmas gift.
Yeah. You'd think it would cut it in half.
You'd think.
I mean, I didn't like having mine toward the end of November because it felt like that. Much less the day of. Hanging out on a Monday after Christmas. We're confirmed, right? So we'll be here Monday through Thursday. And Thursday will be the last show of the year.
Pretty sure.
Pretty sure about that, too.
I'm pretty sure. I kept hearing. Because we have something going on at the Elks Lodge.
Yeah, maybe on Thursday.
On when? Thursday. Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So that would tell me that we're not coming in Friday.
Well, I think that was the whole point of that. I think that was the point of not Friday. What I want to do throughout here, and I mean, obviously we're going to have a couple football games to talk about. The Oklahoma on Wednesday. OSU will play Saturday, right? Saturday at noon, I think, is their maybe 11 o'clock
noon?
Time. It's like the first game.
Is it the? I'm checking. It is. You're right.
Which means so it's noon our time or noon period.
Well, I can check that by looking at the OU time. It is noon our time.
Okay. Noon, yeah. So it'll be 10 o'clock out in the desert. That's pretty wild. Isn't
that
it?
Is crazy. That is crazy.
Huh. Well, you know why.
Because OSU and Notre Dame are...
Because the Rose Bowl has to be where it has to be.
Of course it does.
And so Sugar Bowl's always at night. So guess what, Fiesta? You're at noon, 10 o'clock out in the day. Well, actually, you know what? Actually, I guess it's 11 o'clock, right? Or is it 2 hours right now? How does that work? Because Arizona doesn't change. We change. So it's 11. Right. It'd be 11 o'clock their time.
Let's find that out, too.
It
yeah,
is.
It's 8:27 right now.
Yeah, 11 o'clock their time.
I mean, 11 o'clock.
When we spring forward, we get two ahead. That's how that works.
Okay.
Because they never change. Anyhow, so I know we'll have the football to talk about and all that, but I also want to kind of recap the year, some of your favorite things that happened in the year, and then also maybe what's on your what's a New Year's resolution sports-wise for you. A couple of things like that as we go through the time. And, of course, we'll also have a little high school hoops to talk about. With the birth of Frank Teague going on, starting what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, it's Tuesday through Thursday, pretty sure.
Tomorrow, Tuesday through Thursday. I had that schedule in front of me. I know I was just looking where Hammond played. They play at 6:30 tomorrow.
Yes. I got some thoughts about that. I was thinking about that today, wondering how that game would go, and I think there's a couple of things that are going to matter.
Okay.
More than anything else.
Well, you've seen Weatherford.
No.
Yeah, I thought
not
you had.
Not really.
Oh, you didn't say.
I watched him play a little bit against Pampa.
Okay.
But I had seen Pampa, and I knew how that game was going to go, unfortunately, with what Weatherford has. But it's the same. It's a bunch of the same players from the last few years, though.
Yeah.
Outside of losing Sage and Kennedy Price are both gone. Malaya Brown.
Okay.
But they're still pretty guard-oriented with the Hoffmans. Anyhow, we'll talk about that tomorrow. That'll be up on the docket tomorrow.
Cool.
All right, so last night, I mean, it's all I can do not to come in here and just start proclaiming Dallas Cowboys the best team on earth after the way that they dismantled the Washington football team last night on Sunday Night Football. It was one of those games the defense was as good as the defense has been for the last month and a half or so, but what really kind of got you fired up was you saw Dak Prescott really hot last night. He ended up – his numbers – it don't look as good as what they were. In the first half, he was right around 300 yards, threw four touchdowns, and it only missed like twice with incompletions. And then it was a little bit – it was one of those things like when they came out in the third quarter, you knew they weren't going to be as fired up because it was 42-7, and you knew McCarthy and Kellen Moore weren't going to have the playbook completely open. And it was kind of like I really almost wished just let Cooper Rush go. Let him play. Not to – spoil any of the great feelings you had. But at the same time, I think it's pretty well understood that it wasn't going to look like the same team as it did in the first half. It's just the way it goes. You're trying, with the limited rosters in the NFL, you're trying everything you do not to get anybody hurt in a game like that. But at the same time, you got to play a bunch of those guys because there's not as many to get out there. But the performance was one of the best in years from the Cowboys. Defense, offense, special teams continue to really impress. I don't remember. We have to look this up, but that's now the third punt block of the season by the Cowboys. I don't remember multiple punt blocks ever
in a season.
For the Cowboys, and really, you just don't see punt blocks in the NFL very often.
No,
but they got another one last night for a touchdown. It was a dominating performance. And it was really nice to see that offense back to what it started out being, and that's Prescott using all of those weapons at his disposal to go up and down the field. And now, with the defense to go with it, Dallas looked fantastic last night.
They looked great. You just kind of had to know in the back of your mind Dak was going to get out of what basically Jerry had called a slump, and he did. And it was the perfect game. I mean, it's hard to find flaws in that game, you know, but I mean, there, how many multiple wide receivers, how many guys caught a ball for Dak last night? And even guys you'd never heard of.
Or literally.
Plays. You mentioned somebody last night.
Malik Turner.
Yeah. I think I'd actually heard that name somewhere.
I had never heard that name. Of course, Wyatt was like, oh, yeah, I heard him talking about him on one of the shows. I'm like, dude, he is – no, you didn't. First off, you didn't, but that's fine that you did. But that, I mean, he had a 61-yarder where and it was funny. Chris Collinsworth counting up, like 10 dudes had a shot at him, missed him. And then he dives in the end zone on a catch a couple plays later. And I'm like, this guy looks like a all-pro NFL, like just his – the look of it. He looked just like the rest of them out there, you know, and making plays. I was like, golly, look at this guy go. And I literally have never heard of him.
Undrafted out of Illinois.
Is he a rookie?
No. This is actually – he came in undrafted 2018. Dallas Cowboys is his third team.
I'm telling you, news to me. I honestly
Seattle
had never heard
up.
Of him.
He was on Green Bay's team to start this season on the practice squad. And now Dallas got him, and sometimes you just find a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to make any difference.
I'm not saying he's,
well,
you know, but it's nice to have guys like that.
Well,
but,
yeah.
Now but when guys like that are making plays like that, you know it's a good night.
Oh, for sure. And then all of a sudden, after he caught one in the first half, I thought, who is this? I've never seen number 17. What is going on here? And they said his name, and then all of a sudden you start seeing him on special teams. You're like, wait a minute, he's in about – half the plays here running down, you know. Anyway, it was just, yeah, but you're right. When Malik Turner makes the play of the year almost with on a 61-yard catch where he zigzagged across the field twice, that's when you know it's a good night, okay?
Yeah.
That's when, obviously, things are going the Cowboys'
and
way.
And I'm with you. I was thinking to myself, okay, this is awesome. You're putting up that many points, but it's still Washington. They're straight up fighting with each other on the sideline, which is a whole other topic to talk about. I mean, how dysfunctional are they? But then I thought, well, it's still – and I always go back to this. It's still a pro team. These are still pros out there. Mm-hmm. This isn't like OU beating up on Rice or somebody. These are still pro teams. And everything just clicked and worked for Dallas. It was said last night, and I agree. That's something you kind of look for at this time of the year of who is catching fire now.
And getting healthy,
yeah.
And those two things are happening. The health thing is definitely happening for Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, you look across.
That's why I think everybody wasn't freaking out when they, had lost
like
three out of four.
Yeah.
And it was nothing that nobody outside of Dallas or Dallas fandom were talking about was, well, God, they're not healthy. I mean, they're kind of beat up, but once they get some guys back, they're going to be back pretty good. And lo and behold, this is what we got.
I mean, outside of Parsons and Diggs, the guys that were the main stars on the defensive side, there was a right through that period that you're talking about, none of them were there. Randy Gregory wasn't there. Neville Gallimore wasn't there. DeMarcus Lawrence wasn't there, you know, but it shows when they showed that graphic of the ages of that defensive line. The oldest one's like 27 and they got like 8 of them. And that's when it gets scary. We were kind of texting back and forth. I'm still not 100% convinced that you can't run the football on Dallas. I'm just not, you know, last night, 4.3 yards a carry, 20 for 85 for Washington. I mean, obviously they fell so far behind they didn't really have much of a chance to like lean on the ground game because it was 21-0 before you ever even sit down in your chair.
Yeah.
But when it's almost like the NBA a little bit. The game will slow down, which in the NFL means speed up. Like you won't have as many possessions because teams run the football, drain the clock, and we'll see if the Dallas defense can hold up against just a bruising run game. Now, the good news is this isn't, you know, 1992, where that's kind of what everybody did.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's where I go back to the 49ers. Gosh dang, that to me, that is the last team you want to play if you're Dallas, just because of their style and their physicality. And right now, I'm pretty sure that's the matchup. If the playoffs started today, I think that's who they'd play. Maybe not, though. It may be the last. It may be Philly, actually. Yeah, it would be. Yeah, so it'd be Philly right now. which that's fine. I mean, it's a division opponent, but it's I would rather play them than the Niners. But the Dallas, they look great. I mean, they're definitely one of those teams trending with health and trending after last night, getting the thing started. That they looked like a team that's going to be formidable in the playoffs. Outside of Dallas, what else kind of impressed you throughout the weekend as far as the NFL?
Well, Joe Burrow, man. Come on. Next question. The dude was going crazy. At one point, I thought, man, did Dak see that and try to go after that 500-yard passing? Because he was at, what, 2-something at half. I thought, well, he's halfway there. But Joe Burrow, he is clearly, you know, they suffered without him last year. And maybe that injury was a good thing so we can sit, watch, get acclimated to the league from the bench, from, you know, seeing it in person and in film study and practice. But that dude is something else. He's a good piece to build around in Cincinnati. And if somebody wants to go play in Cincinnati as a free agent, they have, I mean, Cincinnati stock right now, I'm buying into. But Joe Burrow particularly impressed the hell out of me.
I wonder what the deal, what is the matchup that Joe Burrow likes so much against the Ravens? Because he became the first player in history to throw for 400 in multiple games against one team. Because they eviscerated Baltimore in Baltimore a few weeks ago, 41-17. It's almost even worse than yesterday. You know, yesterday was 41-21. But there's something there that he likes against that secondary that he likes against the Ravens because he just torched them twice. I think it's super interesting to see what's going to happen in that division. Even with all, you know, I think this week in a lot of ways was a lot more about bad than good, and I'll get to that in a second. But you had Burrow was great. The Cowboys were great. Buffalo was great. And that's the team that we all thought we were going to see.
Yep.
There they are. Buffalo was awesome. But then a lot of the other stuff, to me, was as much about bad as good. Pittsburgh's offense, holy Moses.
Oh, man.
Bad. Staying in that division, Baker Mayfield, horrific on Saturday. And they still almost won that game.
Still had a chance
to win that game. What has happened to the Arizona Cardinals? Where have they gone? And then the Colts.
I really have no answer for that. I just can't. I just don't know.
I mean, I'm telling you, and I it's funny because I started to hear this yesterday about how, like on the warm-up shows or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a definite pattern in Cliff Kingsbury's career, not only in college but now in the pros. His teams get worse. They just do. They can't sustain the early season success. Is that something in his philosophy? Is it just because his teams are kind of soft and then they get worn down? I don't know, but Arizona's not that team. Indianapolis is, though. Indianapolis is fantastic, and Jonathan Taylor is absolutely in the MVP hunt. He really needs Aaron Rodgers to blow a game. Because the problem is Aaron Rodgers continues to play like the MVP with 3 touchdowns the other day. I mean, here's what's bad. It wasn't even like a great Aaron Rodgers game. 24-34 for just over 200 yards.
But he doesn't.
3
make
touchdowns
mistakes.
And no picks. And that
does not make mistakes.
That's right.
He makes throws that. Listen, he's a great athlete. I mean, great quarterback. He makes throws that are hard to make. But I think the bigger thing to me is he just doesn't make mistakes.
Well, and it was on display because the other guy was in that game. Well, I mean, the contrast could not have been more stark. And here, listen, you can commend him all you want to for playing hurt and all that. But the fact of the matter is, on Saturday afternoon in Green Bay, Cleveland was the better team, except their quarterback wouldn't stop throwing the ball away. Now, part of that, to me, is on Stefanski. I don't know what he's doing with Nick Chubb at 7.5 yards a carry and only hands it to him 17 times. Yeah. When his quarterback is struggling as mightily as Baker was struggling, come on, give him the ball and take, you know, the load off. Because here's the deal, and it's proven once again, the more the load you put on Baker Mayfield's shoulders in the pros, the less likely Cleveland is to win. That's just the truth. And there's nothing – I mean, it's just the way it is. And it's funny, you know, that it feels like Sam Bradford all over again from OU fans blaming everything but Baker, like they did with Sam. And here is the truth. If you're good enough, you make everybody around you better no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances. You don't see anybody going, well, Tom Brady – yeah, because Tom Brady makes everybody better. Doesn't matter who he doesn't have. Now, he's the greatest of all time. I get it. But that's the mold of the great, great quarterbacks. And quite frankly, Baker Mayfield isn't one of those. He has to be in the right situation, and he can have success. We've seen him have tremendous success, especially for Cleveland. When you think about what they were before he got there versus what they are now and the wins that have piled up around him, it's impressive. But a lot of it doesn't have anything to do with him. It's the team built around him. And now you have to start questioning whether or not he's the reason that they aren't going to reach their potential. And that's a tough timing for him to have that question asked, because everything in his NFL future hinges on the rest of this season and maybe even the next one in Cleveland. And maybe even not there. We'll have to see if they think they can make an upgrade while they have this team intact around him the way that they do right now. Okay, who can make – how many teams can make the Super Bowl? Like legitimately
– that's a good one.
Make a case.
I would go with seven.
Okay, who?
Seven. Let's see if I remember if I count these right. Kansas City, clearly. Cincinnati, I think, can make a case.
Okay.
Buffalo. And Indy. I think Indy's – remember I talked about getting hot at the right time? Them. I'm not sold on Tennessee. I just not. I know they're right there contending for a top seed, two seed. I just don't know if they're Super Bowl ready. As far as if they can't – will they get Henry back for the playoffs?
Sounded like probably so, but we'll see how healthy he is.
That might change my mind. So what do I got there? Three?
That's four.
Four. I checked that eight then. Green Bay, Dallas, the Rams.
And the Bucks.
And the Bucks. Not sold on Arizona.
I'm going to go with six.
Something wrong with Arizona. I know you like 49ers, but I don't think they're
– not Super Bowl.
Not Super Bowl.
No.
No.
I'm going to go with six.
Okay.
There's no way I can sit here and say I think the Bengals can make the Super Bowl. Just because we've never seen Joe Burrow play in the, you know, the playoff, Joe, we have no idea. So I can't say that. I'm with you on Tennessee, even though
– I think Cincinnati, given the right spot, and if things work out for them, I can see them get to the AFC Championship game, and then you never know.
Yeah, we'll see. I'd sure like to be the team that got to play them. Just because of their – I mean, their history is they don't win a playoff games. They just don't.
That is true.
You know, they've struggled for all those years, one and dones. I don't think they can make it. Tennessee, golly, and they're one loss away from hosting the playoffs throughout.
Yeah.
Didn't they beat Kansas City?
They did.
Yes. Early. So they would have that tiebreaker if Kansas City dropped one, which is, you'd think they might eventually, and maybe it's the Bengals this week. Now, that's a big game to me to see if the Bengals are ready for that spotlight. You know, we talked about Arizona. They had two chances this year to really prove, hey, we're ready for the big time, and they laid an egg in both of them against the Packers and against the Rams, and now it seems like they're in a little bit of a spiral downward. No Tennessee, no Bengals. I think the only two to me in the AFC that I can sit here and say, yep, I think they can make the Super Bowl is Kansas City and Buffalo. With the nod to Indianapolis, maybe, but that's, once again, Carson Wentz. You know, yeah, he was on a Super Bowl team. No, he wasn't playing. It was Nick Foles that did that in the playoffs. So I'm going to have to see it from those guys. You know, even, excuse me, down to the Ravens. Lamar's been terrible in the playoffs. You know, it's hard to put them there. Then on the in the NFC, it's those top four. Any of those top four can win. I think we may have. excuse me. I think we may have epic divisional and championship games in the NFC. I mean, you know, any of those combos, I would kind of like to see it how it is for my taste in the order that it is right now, which would be Green Bay. If everybody won their first round, Green Bay would play Tampa and Dallas would host the Rams. I think those are fascinating matchups. I really do. Mm-hmm. But any of the – he could throw those up and they could come how they may, and I think you're going to get good games with all those in the division round. So I think they're just six. The two in the AFC and all four of those, the top dogs in the NFC. And we'll see if anybody can join that group between now and the end of the season. Cincinnati has a chance this week with Kansas City on the schedule. You know, if they run roughshod over them, all of a sudden it's like, whoa. Maybe they are the getting hot team at the right time,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But it looks fun. It looks like it's going to be a blast in the playoffs. You know, the AFC, Kansas City's 1-8 in a row. But even though, isn't it weird? I mean, maybe it's not to you. But to me, I keep kind of waiting on the shoe to drop. Like, I just don't trust them near to the level that I have the last 2 years. Or even three, dating back to when Brady got them in the AFC title game that year. I just don't know if I trust Kansas City. And there's no reason not to.
They looked good yesterday, but was that because Pittsburgh looked bad?
Yeah. I mean, Pittsburgh's offense, holy crap. Ooh.
There were opportunities there.
This isn't the 90s anymore.
For Pittsburgh, there was opportunities. And when you're fumbling the football without even being touched, I mean, come on, man.
It just looks...
It
looks like the end of an era offensively in Pittsburgh, and that end of that era will be Big Ben not being the quarterback anymore. It just doesn't look right. But I don't know. AFC is who it literally. I think there's only two that can make it, but I don't know if I'd be. I don't know that I'd be. Just got my head sewn to the carpet, shocked if it was somebody else. In the NFC, I would be that shocked if it's somebody outside of those four, because it just feels like it's on a collision course for those four teams to battle it out for 2 weeks and see who ends up in the Super Bowl. So it's been fun. You know what's going to ruin it, though? You know what could ruin it?
What's that?
Only one thing could ruin the NFL playoffs, Jared.
New England?
The ridiculous COVID protocols.
Oh, okay.
That's what can ruin the NFL playoffs. About the only thing.
Yeah.
I mean, because here's the thing. You used to maybe say a crappy halftime show, but... that's all we get now, so it can't be that. Question on the text line that I missed about Dallas when we were talking earlier. Question is, who is the biggest impact on the Cowboys' defense? Is it Parsons, the rookie phenom, or Trayvon Diggs, the ball-hawking interception leader? What say you, Jared?
I will go with Parsons.
I'll say neither, but both, all in the same way. Especially on the Parsons side, and here's why. I don't think it's just him. And listen, I think he's phenomenal. Don't get me wrong. He is a phenomenal football player. But what I think it's the combo, and Collinsworth showed this expertly last night. And the second half, they had plenty of time to break out a bunch of cool things because the game was so boring, right?
They were trying everything.
I mean, Al Michaels was literally telling you he was trying to fill time there for a little bit. But they showed the different packages with Gregory, Lawrence, and Parsons and how they could move those guys anywhere. Rush them from the inside, rush them from the outside. They can all do all things. And so that I think it's the defensive line for Dallas that makes such a difference because their pass rush as a group, it's the best there is. They have so many guys that can get there. And they have so many guys that they can they don't have to play them. They illustrated that as well, of how they could keep them fresh. And so then on those big third down, you know, third and mediums, third and longs, where you need to rush the passer. Those guys are out there doing that expertly. So I just think that I think it's a combo on that defensive line that's making them so good. So good. Mm-hmm. It's the combination of it all, and it has been fantastic so far. There's no doubt about that. And it only looks to be getting stronger with guys coming back and the way that they can rush. So I'd say both. You know, Diggs, he has all the picks, and he's been great. He also is susceptible to baiting the quarterback into completing one on him down the field. You know, like trying to, you know what I'm saying, baiting him into a pick and then not making it. But it's good. It's amazing how good that defense is for what we thought it was in August. How it's come together. And I think if you want to single out one guy, it has to be Parsons, because he's the factor that was unknown that has kind of catapulted it up. But everybody else has got a hand in it as well, I think.
Yeah.
All right. So we've had bowl games canceled, and I'm sure. Maybe not. I mean, we're kind of getting to the point where some of the rest of these would probably have to start getting canceled here pretty quick if that was going to happen. Does that make sense? Because everybody's really kind of down where they're going to be, right? For the most part, through at least Saturday. So, no, OSU got landed, yesterday out in the desert? So maybe that's a good sign that a lot of these games are going to be able to be played since they're taking the time to actually go to the bowl sites.
Right.
So that's probably a good sign. What do you like this week? I'm saying from now through Thursday, leading up into the playoff games, the last game being Wisconsin and Arizona State Thursday night at 9:30 in the Las Vegas Bowl. Between now and then, what are some of the games? I'm going to say outside of OU Oregon, because I know we're all paying attention to that. Outside of that one, what do you like?
I like, just because of the storylines of it, but the Liberty Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Mississippi State and Texas Tech. You think there's any...
That one just jumps off the page at you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I didn't think there's any animosity there.
Yeah.
I think Leach is like, I'm going to beat their bones because of what happened.
If he can, yes. I don't think there's
any
doubt.
I think the postgame presser might be gold.
The pregame's already been pretty good.
Yeah.
He's already mentioned a time or two that they still owe him millions of dollars from 2009.
So what if he goes out and they, they just beat him like a drum, and then they ask him. He's liable to say whatever he wants.
so
the game itself intrigues me. It's what's going to be said after the game.
And that's the thing about him. A lot of times it's like, man, yeah, this guy could say something, but you kind of know in the back of your mind, nah, they're not going to say it. He will.
Oh, he will.
He'll fire out whatever he wants to fire out.
Yep.
That one's an obvious to me because of that storyline. I think one of the better games is going to be leading up to the OU game. I think Clemson-Iowa State could be a really good game.
Yeah, I had that one
circled really
as
good
well.
Game.
Yes.
the one that I think has lost, maybe outside of OU Oregon, but one that's lost a bunch of luster to me, is the Peach Bowl between Pittsburgh and Michigan State. Because Kenny Pickett's not playing. Kenneth Walker's not playing. You know, that one kind of took a pretty big star power hit with some of the guys that have chosen not to play. You know, it seems like normally there's some better matchups in some of these games. It's just not there this year. I don't know if that is because everybody's kind of the same. I don't know. But it seems like there's a lot more, like three or four extra really good matchups. And there's just not. And, you know, and at least for the Big 12 schools, part of that's probably because two of their teams made it into that New Year's Six instead of just one, you know.
Yeah.
Depending on if Oklahoma's in the playoff, then someone else got dragged up. And a lot of times that made it a huge disadvantage for the Big 12 because they weren't as deep. This year I feel like Big 12 – that's going to for sure win a majority of the games. You know what I mean? Like this looks like one of the better, not necessarily sexy matchups, but as far as winning games in the Big 12 bowl schedule, this looks about as easy as it's been for a while. There's a lot of times you look and you go, my gosh, I don't know if they're going to win one or two.
Yeah.
And this one, you'd be pretty surprised if they didn't win three or four of seven or six or whatever there is. But
I got an odd one here that I'll be watching.
Okay.
The Holiday Bowl.
Who's Texas playing? Oh, no. Not, this isn't the 2000s.
About the Pride of Western Oklahoma. The Big Elk Band's going to be there. Don't know if you see them on TV, but that's cool. They always get to go to the Holiday Bowl. UCLA and NC State, in case you want
to. Yeah, I was looking. I was too far down the list.
Which the game actually could be a good one. But I'm with you. There's some matchups here that don't – they're not sexy and they're not – you know, and then the ones that you think would be, you got players opting out.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I don't even know who's opting out, who's opting in.
Right.
Like, what, you know, outside, of course, you know, OU. There's not a lot of OSU guys, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
It's a big game. It's Notre Dame, for crying out
loud. Well, and quite honestly, one of the better ones that we had got taken away. Wake Forest A&M was a pretty good matchup.
Yeah.
You know, that one's actually Friday, but still. And now you replace that with Rutgers. Yeah, the nation dream matchup, Wake Forest and Rutgers.
It sounds like a game. What we are seeing here is, you know, we get it used to get real excited about bowl games, and if the bowl doesn't matter, then we see the opt-outs, and that's a whole other topic, is how do you convince players to continue to play for one more game. But I think we're seeing a reverse bowl season, where at the beginning of the year you're getting fantastic games that on paper would look good. For instance, I know it didn't turn out to be a good one, but Alabama-Miami – you know what I mean? They played that in Atlanta. You know, you can see some neutral site games. You see some great home-and-home series. OU-Nebraska, that's just the nostalgia of it. You get these. So it's like the bowl games, sure, I mean, they're nice and all, but because of what's going on now, they're losing luster.
Yeah, and the playoff. The way to make more of these bowls matter is to increase the number of playoff teams.
Yeah.
Now, does that make the playoffs better? I don't know. But it makes some of these bowls matter more.
Yeah.
And it makes the end of the regular season.
Saw someone say, well, better. How do you incentivize to keep players to play, cash and whatever? I'm thinking, my goodness, I see some of the swag that these players get. Do the ones who opt out still get that swag back?
You wouldn't think. I mean, surely you'd have to go down there to get a PS5, like at the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
Surely to goodness, you can't just stay at home and get a PS5.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would you go?
I'm like, well, I've heard that brought up. Like, well, golly, they get all the swag and all the cool stuff, from shoes to PlayStations to everything. And that's not enough. I mean, would you think a couple $1,000 is going to do it for them? They're leaving because of money. So, I don't know. That's a whole different topic. But this is, okay, fine. Football's football. Any day with football is better than a day without football. I get it. But I get more excited now to start the year, because we always get awesome games Labor Day weekend, even weekends after that leading up to conference play.
Yeah.
We always get better non-conference games now than we have in the past. Bowl games are kind of like opposite now. Now we're getting Rutgers versus
Wake Forest. Yeah.
Okay. I'll have it on, but will I pay attention? Probably not.
Yeah, it does. It seems like there's less of those games that you really want to watch leading into the playoffs into New Year's Day. Everybody have a wonderful Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.